Monster Movie Media presents. Greetings and welcome to episode 61 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast. A podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up on this episode, I have a conversation with Disney artist Kevin John. This interview was recorded the day before Disney officially announced the return of the Hatbox Ghost to Disneyland's Haunted Mansion. Of course, we'll be diving more into that in a future episode. So without any further ado, let's begin. All right, I'm here with Disney artist Kevin John. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, how are you all doing?
We're doing great. We're doing really great.
Wonderful.
We're really excited to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored. Thank you.
Right on. So you're an artist for the Disney Parks Art Gallery on both coasts.
Correct, right. I've been a professional artist for nearly 30 years, and this is my third year. This is my third year creating art for the Disney Park galleries. I absolutely love it. I'm a huge Disney fan, and this is really a dream come true to be able to create original art that's featured in the galleries, and Disney fans can purchase and take home.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. How did you get involved with Disney?
It really was just one of those things that they came looking for me, I guess, is the simplest way to describe it. I've built a very successful brand with my sports art for, as I said, about 28 years now. I have provided art for professional athletes and teams nationally. And I've got a lot of not only the team clients and the pro athletes that I've done work for, but a lot of corporate work as well. I've done work for Topps Trading Cards, Leaf Trading Cards, Beckett Media. I've been featured on ESPN. I had a contract with ESPN for many years to create art live. For them, the Golf Channel, been on all the major networks, I guess, you know, my brand for the sports art and the realism was pretty strong. It has been out there nationally for quite a long time. Right. And I think that Disney had a need that my styles fit, and that was adding a little bit of realism with, I call it stylized realism, to the flavor of the art that is offered there in the parks. They certainly have their share of exceptional character artists that create character art. However, what they needed was someone that could replicate those experiences that you have in the parks,
right?
Not only the attractions themselves, but the many of the things that are featured within the attractions, and those are the stories that we try and tell through my artwork.
Oh, that's great! So, some of the things you have done have been Haunted Mansion inspired.
Yes,
And how did that come to be? Did they pitch you Haunted Mansion, or did you pitch them? You know,
I really have very little direction from Disney in terms of what I choose to create. It really is up to me to present them with concept art, and then it kind of goes through through that procedure.
Okay.
So, being that the Haunted Mansion is my favorite attraction at Disney and has been for many years, I'm a huge fan of the horror genre. Uh-huh. I love Halloween. So, for my first foray into creating art for Disney, I wanted to do something mansion related, and there was nothing better on my list than the infamous Hatbox Ghost.
Yes.
Now we have to rewind the clock about 3 years now.
Okay.
To when this project started, and although Hatbox Ghost has caught a lot of excitement and stir over the last 3 years with what I would call the common Disney park fan. A very short 3 years ago, you would say Hatbox Ghost to the common Disney fan, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. It was really for the Haunted Mansion heads, if you will, the real right. Hardcore Haunted Mansion fans that really knew what the Hatbox Ghost was. That's how I chose him. I think that he's incredibly macabre.
Sure.
And I wanted to do that image justice and somehow bring him into the parks where I feel that he has been missing for many, many, many years.
Now, they haven't officially announced it yet. There's been lots of rumors, but there's rumors that he's coming back to the Disneyland Mansion this summer. Have you heard anything about these rumors?
Just the rumors that you've heard, and I think that if you start connecting the dots with all of the amount of merchandise that has been put out by Disney featuring Hatbox Ghost, including my portrait of him, I don't really think they're in the business of featuring things that aren't currently in the parks. So if you connect all those dots and with the 60th coming up and everything, if I were a betting man, I would bet that you'd be seeing Hattie somewhere in a attraction situation. So yeah, that's my feeling on it.
Okay, just because they're releasing merchandise for things doesn't mean it's coming back, because I just put out new Mr. Toad shirts. I mean, of course, it's still in Disneyland, but there's and 20,000 Leagues glasses, I guess is what I saw. So
it might be
a tease.
Yeah.
I don't know.
that's a good point there. It's a good point. It's just a gut feeling. I don't have any insight in at all. It's funny because the company is so incredibly large, and it always fascinates me. You know, when someone finds out what I do, they'll say, "Oh, hey, you know Mike Smith that works at Disney." Oh, sure I do. You know, I think that people's perception is so small. You know, I think that they think that it's like an office building, like any other office or company that you work at, you know, where there's, you know, a couple dozen people and eventually you get to know everybody. I mean,
right.
I mean, I have a very, a very short list of people that I work directly with the company, and that pretty much ends it right there. And it's strictly for art and merchandise. You know, I don't really have any contact with many other people. Yeah.
So they're not calling you and saying, "Hey, we're thinking about bringing the Hatbox Ghost back. What do you think?"
Right. And if I did, I wouldn't be able to talk about it anyway. So.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
Of course. So what kind of reactions have you gotten to your Haunted Mansion pieces?
The Hat Box was by far and away over a 28-year period of time creating professional art, by far and away the most enormous response that I've ever gotten from a piece that I've created.
Wow.
It has, I have heard from so many different types of people about this piece, people that have, collected my art for years off, other than Disney brand stuff. I have loved this piece and I've started collecting down my Disney art because of this. It has given me a lot of national attention where, it was the perfect piece to blow the door open, for me to say that now Kevin John is creating art for Disney.
Right.
It's just one of those, dynamite pack type of pieces. It got all the right reactions from all the right people. Great feedback. The other mansion piece that I created, I think that there's a little bit of a story behind that as well. And going through the mansion as a young boy, the first mansion that I went through was in the mansion in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. We took a trip there and then lived in California for a couple of years when I was a young boy. So that was the first mansion that I saw back in the 70s, 78, 79. And the part that I remember most specifically was certainly the Pepper's Ghost effect of the twirling, dancing ghosts in the ballroom.
Right.
I just could not for the life of me understand how they have these ghosts living and materializing in a park attraction.
Right.
And then, again, I'm 10 years old, but the other chilling portion of that attraction that really stuck with me was the graveyard caretaker or the grave digger.
Mm-hmm.
I just, seeing that human form there with just the light of his lantern to protect him out by the gates of this cemetery where now he has to go and work in the wee hours of the night.
Right.
And the ghosts are swirling around him, shivering. His dog is shivering and shaking from frozen with fear. I wanted to replicate that image. I submitted several different versions of that to Disney because my talent for being able to depict realism, that was Disney's original direction with this piece. Show us a version that looks like the caretaker in the attraction.
Right.
So I did that, and it came back looking too much like an audio animatronic. I mean, it looked dead on to what it looked like in the attraction. So they kicked that back, and they said, well, show us a more realistic version. Make him look more human, less audio animatronic. Okay, so I revised it, and now you've got this terrified human man, and this terrified dog, and that came back because I think it was too realistic. It just didn't stick with them. So I said, okay, let's, they wanted me to put the concept away at that point. They said, maybe this isn't the right one to go with, let's move on to a different concept. Let's try do a different scene, move on to whatever next you're working on, Peter Pan or whatever.
Right.
And I said, give me one more stab at this thing. So I went back into my studio and kind of developed my own Disney character at that point. I'm not a character artist. I don't do a lot of stylized work. But I created this version of the caretaker that has a little whimsy. I still think that the frightened expression and the feeling of there you are again in the graveyard and only a lantern light to move you forward and to guide you and to protect you, I think still translates with the piece, but it's a little bit more of a comical version.
Right.
Toned down quite a bit and lots of color and kind of stylized it. It's like a Scooby-Doo cartoon, if you will.
Right, I see that.
Again, growing up a kid in the 70s, my steady appetite was Scooby-Doo cartoons. You know, I love them today. I watch them here in my studio all the time, especially when I was working on that piece. Mm-hmm. The influence of that, you know, those realistically beautifully painted backgrounds with the bright colored characters laid on top. I use that kind of as the style guide for this, and it too was a home run. Disney loved the concept. They moved right to original art then, and it's been a really, really strong seller in the parks. It's offered both as a Jaclé, a signed and numbered Jaclé, and as a what we call a deluxe print, you know, kind of an economy print in the matting, you know, $40, blow out the door, you know, sell as many as you want. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really popular seller. I know that people send me their art all the time that they purchase in the parks. They send it here to my studio and I sign it, you know, personalized, sign it for them here and send it back to them. And I receive quite a bit of those as well as the hat box go. So those are the two mansion pieces that I have created so far, and I've got a third in the works that will hit most likely, thinking definitely by the end of this year. So very excited about the mansion work. I just love it. Once a year, I'll create art, you know, based on the Haunted Mansion, and I just love it.
Oh, that's great. So you, what's the third one going to be?
Third one is, I don't want to give it away. Okay. it is a complimentary piece to the Hatbox Ghost. Mm. And I'll leave it there. It's going to be styled the same. And it will complement that piece very, very well. And that's as much as I can say about it until the piece is released.
Okay. When can we expect it to be released?
Again, by year's end, things, you know, the company works differently with different things. You know, sometimes, you know, original art will find its way immediately into the galleries and then go to print immediately. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. I've got an amazing, Sleepy Hollow Headless Horseman piece that I created, last summer. And that still has yet to hit the galleries. So it just depends when, you know, when that number is called up and where they have a need for it. So,
okay.
I wish I could give you a better answer to that.
Well, what other, you mentioned Sleepy Hollow. Have you done the other, Disney pieces?
Yeah. The other piece that, that I really love and it sells well here in, and by the way, I live in Florida. I live out on the east coast of Florida on the barrier island, right on the beach.
Okay.
So out here in Florida, I'm about an hour and a half away from Walt Disney World. So out here in Florida at Epcot, we have a character who is kind of the unofficial mascot of Epcot. His name is Figment.
Of course.
And Disney fans, of course, will know Figment. The little purple dragon. Well, he's really not a dragon. He's a Figment. And so my piece was created to kind of talk about our wonderful flower and garden festival that we have every spring here at Epcot. And the piece is called Flowers and Figments. And if you can imagine, it is a kind of a little look at Epcot. You see Spaceship Earth in the background and the beautiful blue sky and clouds we have here in Florida and the palm trees and the foliage. And then you've got the monorail that crosses directly in front. And then in the foreground, you have these beautiful plumeria flowers, the Hawaiian plumeria flowers spilling over the front of the piece. And our friend Figment is flying, hovering right there over the scene. And it's, for me, as a Epcot fan, as a Figment fan, it kind of says it all. You know, it's a beautiful time to visit Epcot with all the amazing flowers and everything that are featured for this festival and the food. And it's one of my favorite times to visit Epcot. I'm going next week and I can't wait. And this piece kind of really talks about that. Currently on the drawing board here in my studio, I just got pre-approval on two concept sketches for the Hollywood Tower of Terror attraction.
Awesome.
So I'm creating two pieces for that attraction, and I can't wait. My fans seem to really love the macabre art that I create, the horror-based stuff, if you will, mm-hmm. and I'll keep that going as long as my fans continue to clamor for it and purchase it. My soul lives there. I just really love that, so I'm going to keep putting those out as often as I can as well. So those are the next ones on the drawing board, so to speak.
Literally on the drawing board.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Very cool. So you talked a little bit about this. Maybe you can elaborate on the other art that you've done over most of your career. What exactly is that work?
Sure. I started as a professional artist when I was, believe it or not, a senior in high school. I started selling my art to local galleries in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania, right up on Lake Erie. And it's a very historical town. And that's really what I focused my art on at the time. I would do illustrations of the historical landmarks and points of interest in my hometown, and then the galleries and gift shops around town would sell them, tourists and people that live there and whatnot. That slowly transitioned in the mid-90s to creating sports art by commission, action portraiture for pro athletes. I was an athlete myself. I coached football at the grade school and the high school level, and I'm a huge football fan. So I had run in some pro football circles. Met a couple of guys that played pro ball, and they had, you know, commissioned me to create portraits for them of them playing football. And from there, then over the next quarter century, that really was my focus for, and still does remain my focus for, the main line of my art, was to provide this action portraiture for pro athletes. And I have created art for some of the greatest athletes in the world. You know, you think about people like Muhammad Ali and Smokin' Joe Frazier.
Wow.
And Peyton Manning and Mel Blount and Franco Harris, Jerome Bettis, a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers, Jim Kelly. The list just goes on and on. Current guys that I've worked with, are guys like Terrell Owens and Rich Huntley and Jason Mott from the Cardinals, who's now actually he just got a new contract with the Cubs. And the list just goes on and on and on of these amazing athletes that I've had the pleasure of working with, many, many Hall of Famers. And then we transitioned to working with their teams, providing artwork for their teams for game day giveaways and their gift shops and all of those type of needs as well. You know, game art that would eventually get to the fans for their of their favorite players and teams. That slowly then transitioned to, as I said, some of these corporate clients that I have and sports related clients, creating art for the Golf Channel, for ESPN, and some of the, I would create artwork, art live on camera at major sporting events and sports related events around the country. Then again, you know, you think of Beckett Media, Beckett Trading, Beckett Magazine, you know, the grading for all trading cards. You know, I've created cover art for Beckett. Topps Trading Cards, I create art for both Topps and Leaf Trading Cards on a constant basis. They're great clients of mine. So, again, you know, you look back at over almost a 30-year period of time, and it's just, you know, thousands of different projects I've been involved with. One of the other really great projects that started 2 years ago was a particular client that we create a line of horror film inspired art.
Awesome.
So, and I'll give you a link to my studio store online here. I'll tell you that in a little while. But you can, I mean, you can buy portraits that I've created of, you know, Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees and Sam from Trick or Treat, and I actually did a piece of the farmhouse from George Romero's Night of the Living Dead in black and white. That piece, the original, was actually filmed, was used in as a set piece in a zombie film that's going to be coming out soon, which was really cool. It's kind of an homage. It looks like an old painting on the wall, you know.
And that's awesome.
Here's the farmhouse from the original George Romero. So that's an ongoing series that I continue to create and add to. And then, you know, 3 years ago, I moved here to Florida. And as I said, I live out on the island here. And it's really difficult to be here without being inspired by the beauty that is here.
Yeah. It's probably not too creepy over there. Just probably.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, there is, you know, the palm trees and the ocean and the beach and the sky and the colors and the water. And so I have launched a series of what I would call tropic art or tropic inspired art, where I've got everything from, you know, little beach scenes and that sort of thing to tiki's and Hawaiian dancers and stuff like that. So that's a whole other direction that I'm taking my art. As well. So, and I'm not usually an artist that is inspired so much, you know. I've been a working artist for, as I said, 30 years. So, you know, for me, it's about delivering a product for my client.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have time to be inspired, but I have to admit my new hometown here, Melbourne Beach, has really inspired me, and I'm really, really very excited about this new line of art that we're developing now. And I think it will be probably as strong a series as I've ever created. So I'm very, very pleased with it.
Very cool. It's good to have a little spectrum there. You're working on a lot of dark stuff, and then you got the flower and garden figment thing, and then the tiki thing. It's good to have a balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very, very true.
So you've been involved with a lot of charity work. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Thank you for bringing that up. That is something that has been very, very important to me from the very beginning. And I cannot take credit for the installation of the passion for that. That I have to give credit to my high school art teacher. I don't have any more than a high school education. And as I said, when I started producing art professionally while still in school, it was not very long after I released my first piece of art that a charity came calling and asking if I would donate a piece of art to a charity auction that they had. And, you know, and so I went to my art teacher and, you know, I said to Ms. Bryan, I said, you know, I'm trying to make money here and they want me to give my stuff away. What's the deal? And she said, you know, you're going to get this. The more popular your art becomes, the more, you know, need that there's going to be for these types of things. And Kevin, John, don't ever say no. You know, you don't have to give them an original piece of art. You can give them a print, or you can give them maybe some note cards with your art on it or whatever, but do something. Don't ever say no. It's good for the soul. It's good for your community. And quite frankly, it's good for your brand.
Right.
And, you know, she was very, very straightforward about all of it. And so I am proud to say that over more than a quarter century now, my art has helped to raise over $500,000
wow.
for different charities around the country. So it's something that I remain very proud of, and I continue to do. Sometimes it becomes more and more difficult because the asks come more rapidly than ever. I mean, we're filling those type of requests 3 or 4 times a week now from all over the country, but it's still something that that I believe strongly in. Along with that, I've been able to be involved with some really amazing events as well with my art. One of the coolest things that I do is many of these events are celebrity driven. You know, there's celebrity golf tournaments that benefit charities. There are, you know, celebrity black tie affairs, that sort of thing, sports related, all across the board. Well, your given charity can contract me to come to your event and create a huge canvas painting live at your event.
Oh, okay.
So it's part of the show, so to speak. So the people that attend this event can watch this painting come alive right in front of them. And then oftentimes, so if it's a celebrity-driven event, you know, I would feature that celebrity on the painting, you know, and then the celebrity signs it, I sign it, and then it's auctioned off to benefit the cause. And we have raised a lot of money for charity that way, and it's exciting for me. I love to meet new people and give people an opportunity to watch the art develop. Mm-hmm. It's good to, for me, it's kind of the concert performance, if you will. You know, the stuff that I create here over hundreds of hours here in my studio, you know, that's like the finely tuned MP3 music that you download or the CD that you buy. But when people are able to actually come and see me create art in a live situation, it's kind of like going to a concert and seeing your favorite band.
Right.
You're able to really watch this thing, you know, and I get into it, you know. I mean, I'm if there's music playing or whatever, you know, it makes it even better. And, you know, I really get into the creation of this art. It's very raw. It's fun. And moreover, it helps to raise a lot of money. I mean, these pieces will, and my art is expensive, you know, original art, you know, studio produced art here in in my studio or stuff that you buy through Disney, the originals will sell anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. The prints and jaclés, the reproductions, the signed and the woodland editions, can average anywhere again from $40 to $1,000, depending on the level. Those live auction pieces tend to do very, very well. It's nothing to see one of those pieces auction for, $4,000 or $5,000 at an event like that. So it's really something I love to see, and all that money, goes to these great causes. So it's something I really love.
Well, I bet that's really fulfilling. That's all you could do. What you do and really give back at the same time.
Absolutely. More than you can imagine.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on and give a little background about what you do and all that stuff. So if people want to find you and your work online, how do they go about doing it?
Well, I'll tell you, the easiest way is to find me through my main website. Now, it is being overhauled right now, but you can still get to the site and get through the links, but we're completely updating the thing over the next couple of months. But you'll still be able to visit it. It is kevinjohn.com. It is kevin-john.com. And then a direct link to my studio store, where you can actually see and purchase work that is available, is kevinjohnstudio@ticktail, that's TICTAIL.com. kevinjohnstudio@ticktail.com.
Okay.
And that's the studio store. We're marrying all this stuff now that when the relaunch of the new website goes up, it'll still be kevinjohn.com, but everything will be housed there. All my social media, you can find me. Maybe what I'll do is I'll post my Facebook link right there on the Creepy Kingdom Facebook page so that your fans can find me there.
Okay.
I am constantly on my Facebook page loading up images of stuff that I'm working on here in the studio. You can watch video of me actually creating this art here in my studio. I'm very active with my fans. We do giveaways all the time. Every Wednesday is a fan reward Wednesday. So I do autograph giveaways to my fans. We do artwork giveaways. We offer things at special prices. We just did a Friday the 13th sale. Nice. Where everything on my studio store was only $13. And I mean, some of those pieces are a couple hundred dollars. And
wow.
You have the opportunity that day of buying a piece for $13, and we sold well over 300 pieces of art that day. It was really wonderful for the fans. It was a great time for them to get it. So I'll link up that way through Facebook. It is, my full name, Kevin John Jobinski, but that's a disaster. The easiest way is to find me through kevinjohn.com, and you can get to my Facebook and all the other links right through there as well. So
excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank you to everybody listening for giving us the time. Thank you.
Thanks again to Kevin John for coming on the show. If you would like to get in touch with us here at the Creepy Kingdom, all you gotta do is shoot us an email, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And to check out any of our other podcasts, the Even James is a podcast, Roxy's World, and Curvy Cutie Chat, just go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you need to do is go to creepykingdom.com.
Well, until next time.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha